Awesome. Well, if you got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Come on, Mother's Day is awesome. And yeah, again, if you didn't hear in the announcements, but there's some free stuff in the entryway for you. Please grab something. And if you're just a woman, just go grab something. It's in Mongolia, they don't call it Mother's Day. They just have Woman's Day, they call it. So if you're a woman, you get in. You got it. So they have National Woman's Day. So if you're a lady today, please go get a flower, get a book. And we love you. We honor you. But yes, turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to jump into this. Acts chapter 3. As you're turning there, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace in this house. God, I thank you for mercy. I thank you for truth. And I thank you for hope. Mighty God, I thank you that you are here right now, and you're moving and you're working in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our children, in the unseen, Lord. You're moving constantly in the unseen. No matter what our natural eyes see, Lord, there's something happening in the spirit realm. And we just give you praise for that, Lord. We give you praise for everything that's happening beyond the surface. We worship you, Jesus. And I just pray for fruit to come out of this message. And I pray for blessed hearts, Lord. I pray you would seal it on every person's heart in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Acts chapter 3. If you're new, or if this is your first week in a couple weeks, we jumped into the book of Acts, which is a pretty big book to jump into. It's 28 chapters, but it is, I believe, one of the most important books written in the Bible and written in the New Testament, especially because it lays out what the church is supposed to look like. And it gives us an idea of church growth. It gives us an idea of evangelism, of fellowship, of brotherhood, of all these things that we hold dear to our heart. It gives us this beautiful blueprint. And so we covered chapter 1, chapter 2. And if you didn't hear me in the first week, I said something, I'll just repeat it again. But as we jump into this, and I would encourage you, read Acts for yourself. Read it in the Message, read it in the Passion, read it in the New King, whatever translation you have. The Passion is a phenomenal translation to read the book of Acts. It just comes alive. But I'd encourage you to read along and read this as we go into the different chapters every week, and you will really be blessed, and I believe you'll get even more out of it. But one thing I said in the first week, I said, just to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself to do this as well, but that we would read this and study this not as scholars, because a scholar wants to learn what used to be. But my encouragement and my challenge is that we would read this and we would begin to study the book of Acts as a soldier. Because the soldier and the scholar study for two different reasons. Like I said, the scholar wants to read, and he wants to study history for what used to be, for what was. But a soldier studies for what needs to happen. A soldier studies because he wants to know what is happening right now and what is going to happen. And so he studies for purpose. He studies for mission. And so we need to study as we're charting into new waters as a church, as we're going into new territories and new life is coming. We have to study the Word of God, not as a bystander, but as a participant, as a soldier of Christ. And we read this and we just say, Lord, I thank you for my assignment. God, I thank you for the blueprint that you've handed us. And we say yes. Amen. In Jesus' name. Right? Amen. I said this also, I'll just quick repeat, but Luke is the author. Probably we all know that, but Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And he wrote, obviously, the Gospel of Luke. I love the Gospel of Luke, but it's really cool. They go together quite beautifully. And some people have called Acts almost the part two to the Gospel of Luke. And it just continues to flow. But it tells this wonderful story. And the thing that the Lord put impressed upon my heart to kind of sum up the entire 28 chapters is with this, is that the story continues. Say the story continues. And that's kind of the thing I want to keep kind of coming back to, is these aren't just fun stories and fun tales that we're reading about that happened 2,000 years ago. This is alive. This is stuff that God wants to do in the earth today. And the story was then, but the story is now. And the story continues through Church on the Mountain. The story continues through Lauren going overseas. It continues through the Smith family. It continues through every single person in this room, through Ron going to Mexico, through all of us going to Vaughn's. Wherever we're going, the story continues. You know, to the Looney Bean. Come on, the story continues. To get some quiche, the story continues. It just continues wherever you are. And this is the beauty of the book of Acts. And so I'm just excited. So I want to jump into chapter 3. But I felt like real quick before we go into 3, I just wanted to touch on the end of chapter 2. We did all of chapter 2 last week, but I just felt I needed to reread a couple of the last scriptures because we didn't really go over it that thoroughly. So, and in chapter 2, verse 40, it begins to talk about the church growing. And it says, my Bible says, a vital church grows. And I love this because we see that Peter just got whacked with the Holy Spirit, and he is a new man. Like, there's boldness upon his life now, and to where he's not denying Christ, he's willing to die for Christ. And he's preaching the gospel with a boldness to the point where 3,000 people get saved. And it's a pretty intense message that he gives them. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't water it down. He just says, bam, here you go. And 3,000 people come to the Lord. And picking up in verse 40, and it says, with many other words, he testified and he exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day there were 3,000 souls added. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. I think that's really an important verse 42, because this is, and like I was just talking just a moment ago, there's a blueprint. There's a blueprint in the Bible for, you want to know how to grow a church, you want to know how to grow a business, you want to know how to grow family, it starts with verse 42. This is church growth 101. And it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's the apostles' doctrine? We have the doctrine right here. And we need to continue steadfastly in the doctrine that God has presented. And we need to not waver from this. We don't need to add to it. It's perfect theology. It's perfect. It's all in here. We don't need to add to it. We just need to apply it. We need to read it and we need to apply it to our life. And so they adhere to the doctrine. Fellowship. See, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just read verses and I could just read right over them because I'm trying to get to the part where there's a miracle. But sometimes it's in the little verses, the insignificant verses, that is is actually the big verse. Because it's giving you a plan. It's giving you something that you can put your teeth into. And so it says you need to hold fast to this doctrine, fellowship, and that word fellowship is koinonia, and I love that. This is really Holy Spirit fellowship. This is people coming together like all of us. We're in this same room together, and maybe there's people in this room that you're like, man, I would never. And, you know, if outside of church, I probably wouldn't hang out with so-and-so. I probably would never, you know, maybe run and do life with so-and-so. But all of a sudden, we come together in the same room under the same master, Jesus Christ, and we're brought together by this amazing love, the agape love of Christ, and our hearts come together by the Holy Spirit. And that's koinonia. And it's this God kind of fellowship. It's a fellowship that you can't find in the world. It's a fellowship that happens between believers, between brothers and sisters, and we come together and there's this beautiful thing. And so this is he's saying this, they didn't get rid of this. This was so important. Fellowship, the breaking of bread. You're like, yeah, I've heard this before. The breaking of bread is important. Why? Because a meal is more intimate. And you sit down with somebody and it's no longer just, hey, how are you? I'm good. You're good. You sit down and you begin to hear each other's heart for a moment. You begin to have real fellowship. You begin to talk. And that's when the church begins to get built. Amen? Yeah. And then in prayer, it all starts with prayer. So these four things, I think if we want to grow this church, which we all do, I think if we can apply these four things to our lives and to this church, we will walk in growth. You want your business to grow. You want your business to expand and go into new territories. Apply these four things. I believe it's just a beautiful recipe for success. Then verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods. They divided them among all as anyone had need. Hallelujah. Yes, I mean, that's a powerful verse. A lot of people are like, you know, tithing is just Old Testament. I don't want to do that. Well, if we want to get New Testament, I mean, it says they gave everything. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they gave everything. They put everything to the table. They're like, well, I'm not holding anything back. We're in this together. We're running together. You could just take that. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is just a beautiful chapter. I thought it was worth repeating the end of chapter 2. I think it's good to note that because it goes right into chapter 3. And so chapter 3, it talks about a lame man being healed. But something that's interesting, so we got the apostles' doctrine, fellowship with one another, breaking of bread, and prayer. Y'all with me? Okay, chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m. Okay, so here they are. So they just had a command, or they're saying this is what they're doing. They're staying in fellowship, and then we just see it in action. We see that John and Peter are together. They're choosing not to go Lone Ranger. They're choosing not to do it on their own. Why? Because family is, there's power in numbers. One could put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. We might be powerful on our own, but we're way more when we have a team of Avengers. Amen. There's a team of somebody. God wants to assemble some Avengers around your life so that you don't have to fight bad guys on your own. You don't have to fight devils on your own. You don't have to come against certain spirits and things on your own. You have a team of people around you. You have a brother or a sister that has your back. There's power in numbers. I'm preaching better than you're responding. So fellowship. They had this fellowship. And then it talks about prayer. Prayer in the temple. And what were they doing? They were going to the temple to pray. Verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Hallelujah. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. Okay, I'm going to tie this into Mother's Day, y'all. I've never seen Acts 3 be a Mother's Day message. This guy was lame from his mother's womb. And they had to carry him to this temple. They had to carry him to the gate. Excuse me. I want you to think about that. Back up to this mama. How many moms in this room have carried a child and carried a baby? And you had dreams for that child. You had aspirations for that child. You had a hope for that child. And you believed great things were coming for that little child, right? Well, all of a sudden, you have this mom, which I believe had the same kind of dreams that you did as you carried your baby. And this mom is excited. Maybe they got names picked out. Maybe they're like, he's going to be a lawyer. He's gonna be a whatever, a carpenter, whatever. They just got some hopes. They got some dreams. They got some aspirations. And then all of a sudden, this child is born lame. Like we talked about a few weeks ago with blind Bartimaeus, kind of similar situation. But this is even worse, I believe, because blind Bartimaeus can be led to go beg. But this man can't be led. He has to be carried. And so he is totally dependent on his family. He's totally dependent on those around him. They have to literally pick him up and set him by the gate. And he has to beg for money. And he has to beg for food. It's not a great existence, right? It's not a great life. And I'm sure that he's sitting there and maybe thinking, oh, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? And then, you know, everybody in Jerusalem knows about Jesus. Everybody knows that Jesus was healing the sick. Everybody knows that miracle that just happened a few, you know, couple months before with blind Bartimaeus. He got healed at the gate. And so this guy's like, man, like, why didn't Jesus see me? Why did I miss it? Why did I miss my opportunity? Why did I miss my chance? And now Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. What am I supposed to do? Now he's lame again, feeling hopeless, feeling defeated. I think sometimes we get to that point in our life where we feel hopeless, we feel defeated, we feel like there's no answer, there's no hope. Maybe that is in your marriage, maybe that's in your children's lives, maybe that's in your finances, but I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. That's a lie. There's always hope. There's always an answer. There's always truth, and truth will trump. Come on, Trump. It'll trump a lie. Truth is greater. It's bigger. Hallelujah. And so he's begging for food. He's begging for money. I'm sure he's thinking, like, what could have been of his life if maybe he was born normal like his siblings, but he wasn't. And the interesting thing to me is, here's Peter and John, and they're walking to the temple to go pray. And they did this every day. This is something they did every day. They fellowshipped, they broke bread together, they prayed together every day in the temple. And so this is just kind of an interesting side note for me, is that they pass this man every single day. To get to the temple, you have to pass by the gate called Beautiful every single day. This man was brought to the gate and sat down to beg every single day. This was his career, if you will. This is the only thing he could do to make money, to get food. And Peter and John have to walk by this guy every single day to get to the temple. Which makes me ask myself a question. How many times do I walk by a miracle? How many times do I walk by an opportunity that has my name on it? That has a lock on it, but Jesus has given me a key to unlock that thing. How many times do I walk by God-ordained moments? God-ordained ministries. God-ordained miracles. But I'll just knock myself for a moment, but sometimes I like to dream. I like to see what's going on. I like to have vision. I like to dream 10 years and 20 years down the road. I like to dream about things. I like to have hope in the future and hope for what God wants to do in my life. But how many know sometimes if you're just dreaming and hoping, you can forget what's right in front of you? I did this many times, and we probably all have done this. We've passed by the miracle. I did this in Mongolia. I was doing ministry. I was in full-time ministry, and I've shared this, but I'll share it one more time. But I remember walking past little street children that were begging for food, two-year-old, three-year-old children that were begging for food on the streets, but I had to get to prayer. I had to get to the ministry school. I had to go minister. And so I passed by these little boys, these little girls that are begging for food for the sake of ministry. I got to go do ministry. And so not that I hate them, not that I don't want to give them, but I'm focused. And the Lord says, you just passed by me. You just walked right by me. You just walked right by your miracle. You walked right by the ministry. Right. To go hang out with some religious folk. And there wasn't even great miracles or ministry happening there. The greatest ministries and miracles are when we hang out with the broken and the poor and the needy and those that could never repay us. What is that thing that we pass by every day? Sometimes I think it could be the poor. It could be the needy. It could be the broken around us. Maybe there's a high school friend that you see on Facebook and you're like, they're desperate. They're crying out for help. You know, you've seen them. You've seen it. And you're like, really, on Facebook? It's a desperate cry. But and then we scroll. Sometimes we don't walk by. We just scroll by. And this is 2019, right? We scroll on by. But we could instant message them. We could private message them and just say, I got your back, man. I'm in this with you. I will fight for you. But instead, we scroll on by. Instead, we walk on by. I don't want to get involved in their drama. I don't want to get involved in their stuff right now. I'm busy. I got a career. I got stuff to do. I got places to go, which is fine. It's good to have a life. But I'm just saying, what if there is a person that you are holding a key for, that you can unlock their chains? You can break the chains off their life by simply believing in them, by simply bringing Jesus. Hallelujah. It could be a marriage. It's going to get real for a moment. It could be a marriage. Sometimes we are in a relationship and maybe there's friction. Maybe there's friction. There's stuff going on. And instead of dealing with this thing, coming together as a husband and wife, we just say, this is difficult. I think it's going to turn into a fight. So I'm just going to go this way. I'm just going to go zone out on sports. I'm going to go zone out on the golf course. I'm going to go zone out on wherever your zone out place is. We all have zone out places, and it's good to have a zone out place. But if it's consuming your life, then that's a problem. If Facebook is consuming your life, it's a problem. And so sometimes I think we just say, we know what needs to be done. We know that there's a problem. There's an issue. There's something that needs to be sorted out. But we just say, I want to deal with this, but I got to go. I'm just going to keep walking. I got to go to work. I got to get to church. I got to get to this, right? I got to get to the movies. And we pass by our miracle. There could be an amazing miracle awaiting in your marriage, in your children's life. Sometimes I think we walk by our kids no matter what age they are. For me, the Lord convicted me. I'm just being real today. And so let it hit you wherever you're at in your life. I could tell you, I love my kids with all my heart, and they are such a godsend, and they've made me a better human being and a better man, and I wouldn't trade them for the world. But you know, parenting is not easy. It's not easy at all. It's a job. It's a job. It's a hard job, and it's fulfilling, but it can be difficult, and it can be tiresome, and. And I know sometimes I have a list of things I want to do. I got people I got to meet with. Maybe I had to counsel somebody, or I had to meet with somebody. I had to go prepare something. And here's my little boy or my little girls that just want to hang out with me. And I got to go. I got a meeting. Honey, I want to hang out with you. I want to hang out with you. I want to play on the floor. But can I do it when I get home? And I go, and then I come home, and I'm exhausted. And so I'm like, I want to play with you. Can we do it in the morning? I'll wake up early. And this was happening for a while. And the Lord just really convicted me and just said, you will never have this season back again. You'll be in ministry your entire life, but you'll never have these little kids again. You'll never have toddlers grabbing your legs again. And so soak this in, sow into their life. If they want to play for 10 minutes, get on the ground and play for 10 minutes. If they want to read Winnie the Pooh for the 25th time, read Winnie the Pooh. I'm like, son, we read that. I read it. You probably could say it. You memorized it. You can't even read, but yet you know exactly what's happening on that page when I turn it. But yet the Lord challenged me, said, just don't walk by them. Don't walk by this moment. Don't walk by this God-ordained moment, this God-ordained season, because we'll regret it. We'll regret it. We'll regret the time that we missed. We'll regret just stopping. Why was I so busy? Why was I so focused on what was out there when the real miracle was right here? I think that it can be happen with older children too. Sometimes our older kids, maybe they're straying, maybe they're making some bad decisions, and sometimes we don't want to confront. We don't want to, because we're worried that it's going to scare them even farther away. So we avoid the issue instead of dealing with the issue in love, not in a critical spirit, but in love. I believe we're going to unlock some people, unlock some destinies, unlock some hearts to be who God created them to be. Hallelujah. Come on. This is like Heidi Baker's message, but kind of, you know, she says stop for the one. But I really think it's the heart of God. It's the heart of God. Stop for the one in front of you. Whether that's a coworker, whether that is somebody that's making you coffee every Monday and Friday morning at the coffee shop, and you notice that something's going on with them. Can we just take a moment? We got to get somewhere, but can you take a moment to just say, how are you? You look bummed. Can I pray over you? I got this scripture the Lord highlighted to me today. I think it's for you. You don't know how amazingly blessed people will feel and encouraged for the rest of their day if you just if they know that you were thinking about them. Right? Come on, this is good stuff. Right? I love it. I love just stopping for that one. And then think about this, just in our church, you know, I love this church. And one thing, I think we can pass by opportunities in this church as well. And in our church family. And one opportunity, and I have highlighted this in the past, but, you know, it's a blessing to have young families. And different weeks, there's lots of young families that gather, and moms with screaming toddlers, and hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. That means there's life. You know, there's life, and Jesus is into life. But one thing that happens when you have lots of little kids and you have toddlers and you have kids running around is, you know, got to have a good kids ministry program. You got to have a program that moms feel comfortable leaving their kids with. And the heart of kids ministry is, you know, you got moms and dads and different ones that are like with their kids 7 days a week, and they're tired. And so they come to church and they're like, man, I would just love if I could just worship for a few minutes without somebody saying, mom, 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 right? Mom, mom. And I would just love to just worship for a few minutes, hear just like 5 minutes of the sermon, and I would be blessed. And that's the heart of children's ministry. And I think sometimes, and I've done this, sometimes we can walk down to the bathroom and we can look in there, we're like, oh, bummer. Well, you know, oh, screaming kids. Oh, it kind of smells like poop in there. Oh, what's going on? You know, and we just walk by, we're like, bless them, Lord, just bless them. Bless them. Hallelujah. I'll intercede for you. I did my season. I did my time. But that's not biblical. Because in a family, we don't have just, oh, that was my time. It's all our time in a family. You know, Heather's parents are such a blessing, and they had their time as parents. But when they see that we're struggling, they're like, give me that, you know, give me that kid. Let me help you. And they pick up the kids and they assist. That's what family does. Family assists. Family recognizes, okay, somebody needs help right now. And maybe I don't feel totally confident in this, but I think there's a miracle on the other end of this thing. And it could be a miracle for the child, but it could also be a miracle for the mom. Because then you free a mother up to be able to get into the presence of Jesus. And she begins to get touched by God. And so you don't even know the ramifications of that happening, of you just saying, I'm gonna step in there and I'm gonna serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. See, it's the small things that are really the big things. It's the small things in life that are really, they ended up not being small. They're actually the big things. And it's the time with our spouse. It's the time with your friend that needs encouragement. It's the time with our body. That's why it's the fellowship. The koinonia is so crucially important. It's taking time out of our busy day. And that's the thing that we can give people is our time. You know, That's what we have. I don't have time. I don't have any time, but we can carve a little time. And if you can carve a little time for somebody, they feel valuable. They feel precious. They feel cared for. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just on verse 2. All righty then. Amen. Could a powerful miracle be waiting for you to stop and to unlock it? You know, what if God really wanted to use us right where he had us? What if God wanted to use us right here? In Crowley Lake, in Mammoth Lakes, in Bishop, wherever you are currently living. What if he wanted to use you now? You know, and the thing that I love about the book of Acts and that we talked about a little bit, and we'll continue with, is that the first 7 chapters are all about Jerusalem. It's about Jerusalem, going to Jerusalem, and then we see the next few chapters, Judea and Samaria, and then the next chapters after that is to the ends of the earth. And all of these are important. Jerusalem is your home. That's where you're living. And it's essential. You've got to reach what's around you. You've got to reach your family. You've got to reach that uncle that just gets on your nerves, or that aunt that just, like, she's an alcoholic, or you got to reach your home. You got to reach cousin so-and-so, and you got to reach your neighbors, and you got to reach the people at Vaughn's. Like, we got to reach Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Come on. Somebody give me an amen. Yeah. Or an oh me or something. But this is our home, and we got to take ownership of our home. We got to take ownership of Crowley and Mammoth and Bishop and this whole Eastern Sierras. We have to. And we got to shine the love of Jesus. Amen. You know, I believe that God wants to make a huge difference when we decide to grow where we're planted. Yeah. Right? We gotta grow. But first we gotta get planted. Yeah. It's like those little succulents out there. They're gonna get kind of big, but if you plant them, they're gonna get really big. And the roots will go down deep. There's something significant, something so powerful about planting yourself in a healthy family, in a healthy body, and healthy with healthy believers. And you grow. And God, that is the plan of God. That is the plan of Acts. That's the plan of everything that Paul laid out in the epistles, that to establish ourselves with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And then we begin to grow. But here's the thing. You know, when you grow, when your roots begin to go down, when you begin to grow and you begin to get bigger, what begins to happen? You kind of get uncomfortable. There's called growing pains. You get uncomfortable. There's, why is this guy getting too close to me? What's going on here? I don't like how this is feeling. I don't like how my roots are feeling right now. Can somebody say amen? And we begin to get uncomfortable and we say, I think I'm going to pull my roots out and I'm going to go stick it over there. And so we uproot ourselves and we go plant ourselves in another field, in another soil, because we're offended, because we're afraid, because we're uncomfortable, and we plant ourselves somewhere else, and then the process starts all over again. And I pray that they would stay in that soil, but most of the time, we go from soil to soil to soil, and as soon as it starts getting good, we say, I don't like this feeling. I don't like what is going on in my heart. I'm going to uproot myself. But don't uproot yourself before the fruit comes. Yeah. Don't uproot yourself in the growing process. Because there will be growing pains, and it will hurt, and you will rub somebody the wrong way. And iron sharpens iron, as one man and one woman sharpens another. And it's not this beautiful, this is so sweet and smooth. It's grinding. There's sparks flying sometimes. But we sharpen each other, and we make each other better. Family makes each other better. Church, we make each other better. Friends make each other better. True friends. Hallelujah. Find some true friends. I love this. You know, my good friend Soto, who's coming back to us really soon, they started this ministry in Mongolia. It's so awesome. And really, like, they'd done ministry all over the nation, and they'd started churches and reached thousands and thousands of people. But the Lord put on his heart to say this one question to Mongolian people as they walked up to him on the street. And they said this: do you have a true friend in your life? Do you have a real friend? Do you have somebody that will pray for you? Do you have somebody that will look out for you? Do you have somebody that loves you? And their hearts would just break. And sometimes people would begin to weep on the streets. Because everybody is lonely. And everybody's empty. Everybody's feeling like, I have nobody. I'm in the capital. Those people are in the capital city. There's people everywhere. But yet I feel alone. And then, so this is this ministry they started. It's just called True Friend. That Jesus is the true friend. And there's a true friend. He wants to be your friend. And not only are you getting the true friend today, but you're getting my friendship today. And they begin to be friends with him, and they call him, and they text him, and they just say, hey, let's hang out. Come to our home group. Come to church today. Come hang out. Let's go get barbecue. Let's go eat a sheep, you know, like Mongolian style. Let's go milk something, you know. They milk everything over there. It's crazy. I'm serious. But God wants to plant us. He wants to plant us in good soil so that we would grow. And I believe in the Eastern Sierras, the Lord wants to cut off the vicious cycle of Christians uprooting themselves all over, from Mammoth to Bishop to Levining to Bridgeport. All over the Eastern Sierras, there's an epidemic of people saying, I don't like it. I'm uprooting myself. And they don't go anywhere. And they don't connect with other believers. Or they do connect and they go, this is the cool church. I'm going to go there. And they go there for 3 weeks. And they uproot them. Just don't, let's not do that. And I am not offended when people leave this church. I am totally okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yeah, but if people leave, my heart and my desire is like, Lord, just plug them in somewhere else. Lord, give them a family. Give them a tribe. Yeah. And that should be our prayer. You know, we need people to leave this place and to find the people that they're supposed to run with. Yeah. I'm not mad when people go. I'm just like, I'm interceding for them. Hallelujah. And you should too. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So God wants to use us right here in the here and now. I got a few minutes left. I'm just taking a long time, but it's all right. Happy Mother's Day. He wants to use this in the here and now. I got a couple more points, and I'll close this. But I had this reality check in my own life when I was working at the Salvation Army, and I love the Salvation Army, and it's a wonderful organization, and it's a great humanitarian organization, and their slogan is doing the most good. You know, they're involved in human trafficking, they're involved in feeding the poor, they're involved in everything. You know, we gave giving to them to help some of the fire victims in Paradise. And they're doing a great work. And so I was working for them for a few years, and it was a great season. I was blessed, but I tell you, in the beginning of that season for working for the Salvation Army, I was, I remember, like, because I told you, I tend to dream. I tend to get out there, and I have all these prophetic words that I'm rereading and looking at, and I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get there if I'm sitting in here? How am I supposed to go do that if I'm in the Salvation Army? Like, this does not make sense. This doesn't look like anything is happening in my life. Were those just false prophetic words? Like, what is? And I just begin to get fearful, you know, because now I got some kids, and now I'm like, Lord, what are you doing with my life? How do I move on from here? And I begin to miss the people in front of me. Every day people would come in with need. Every day people would come in with struggles. Every day people would come in with addictions. And I would miss them because I would be focused on, oh, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my future? Where are we going to go? And all this stuff. And I missed the one. And I missed the one. And I missed the one. And then all of a sudden the Lord just said, stop and be present here. Be present here and see what I will do. And so I began to be present, and all of a sudden I began to minister to people, and I began to see healings and deliverances. I began to see people get hope in their life that were coming in with marriages destroyed. And all of a sudden I saw them, and I could see what was going on in their life. I said, could I pray for you? I don't have all the answers, but I want to pray for you, which is the key. We're going to kind of begin to wrap it up here. Let's read again. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Why Why is that important? Why is that even in the Bible? I think it's important because if you're in San Francisco or you in LA and you, most of the time people that are begging, they're not looking at you. They're just like, they don't want to make eye because they're embarrassed. They're ashamed of what they're doing. And so they will look often at the ground. Sometimes people will even be sleeping. They'll cover themselves and they'll just put out a sign with a bucket, right? Give me some money. And then they make up all these weird signs like, I'll dance for money. I'm not going to, you know, some of them say, I'm not going to lie. It's just for beer. You know, I'm like, so well, thanks for being honest. Yeah. But there's all these signs and sometimes they don't want to look at you because they're ashamed of their condition. And I believe this is the state that Peter and John find this man in. He's ashamed of his condition. He's ashamed of what has happened with his life. And all of a sudden these guys say, no. Wait, hold. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me in my eyes. And he's like, alms? Alms for the poor? He asks for money and they say, then Peter said this, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaping up stood, and he walked, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He looks at him. He says, this is important. This is such an important verse. Why? Because many times I think we don't do ministry. We don't stop for the one because we feel unqualified. We feel like I haven't been prayed up. I didn't go to that Bible study about miracles, and so I don't know what to do. I didn't go to that one class, or I haven't been to Bible college, or I slept in. I'm feeling grouchy today, so maybe tomorrow I'll stop for the one. And we make these excuses why we feel unqualified. But my encouragement to all of us is that you don't have to give anybody you. You don't have to give them anything that's you. I don't have to give them Mike. And you don't have to give them you. The thing that they gave him, they said, hey, bud, like, we don't have money. I wish I could give you some silver and gold, but I don't have that. But what I do have, this is going to change your life. I have Jesus. And Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is what people need in their dead situations, in their hopeless situations. We need to give people Jesus. And so don't feel inadequate. Don't feel like I don't have enough. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough prayer time. Like, it's not about you. It's about him. And it's about the Holy Spirit coming through you and touching people's lives in an amazing way. And here's two verses I just want to read and we'll begin to wrap this up. And we will still play that little video, Matt, at the very end. Two verses, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Right.
Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 2:4, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, writing. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is where it's at. And that doesn't lie with me, and it doesn't lie with you. It is understanding and realizing that there is a Holy Spirit. And if we will yield to Him and allow ourselves to be conduits of a mighty God, a God that loves all of His creation, a God that wants to intervene in broken situations and in broken hearts and broken families. He wants to touch those hopeless situations. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that we can walk into dead situations. We can walk into lame situations, if you will. People have a marriage that feels totally dead and broken and we got to carry that thing or children or whatever it is. I believe that people in this room, you're going to walk into situations and you're going to say, get up in Jesus' name. Rise in Jesus' name. And the thing that I, here, and I'll close with this. The thing I love about this is that man had no faith. That man had no faith to be healed. The faith came from Peter and John. And so that's the thing that I just want to leave you with. Maybe there's people in your life, you're like, well, they're not a believer. They just don't have faith for it. What if you have faith for it?
Yeah.
What if you stepped into their dead situation? What if you stepped into their sick situation? What if you stepped into their hopeless situation? And just one or two people believing and just saying, we believe, now get up. Yeah. In the spirit. Get up off your sick bed. Get up in the name of Jesus. Get up. Your marriage is healed today. Your life is healed. Your heart is healed. Your brain is healed. What if we just begin to do that? And I'm not guaranteeing answers every single time, but I promise you, you won't get answers if you don't do that. If you want to see the miraculous, then we have to take a step out of the boat at some point in time. I want to see miracles, and I know you do too. And it starts with just a yes. It starts with, I'm going to see this person, and I'm going to believe in this person in Jesus' name. Can everybody agree with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Just give me 1 minute. Let me just wrap this up real quick. 2 seconds. And I do want to pray, and I have a video. I'll hold that to the very end. Just hold it. I just feel like we need to pray, and I'm going to release you. I got a video. Ann's going to share something, but I don't want to take up all your Mother's Day. I know there's brunches and lunches and dinners and all kinds of fun stuff. I want to celebrate the mamas, but I believe maybe there's people even in this room right now that you feel you don't have faith anymore for your situation. I feel like there's people right now that, and it's not everybody, but I feel like there's people right now, you feel like you don't have faith for that thing that you've been believing for a long time, and you've lost hope and you've lost faith. If that's you, I would just want to encourage you, just stand to your feet right now. I just want to pray for you, just to be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, you sweet, amazing women. Thank you. If there's anybody else, just... We're gonna pray. You can stand. There's no shame. It's just about freedom. It's just about breakthrough. Hallelujah. Thank you for the women. Thank you for the boldness of women. Hallelujah. I want you to surround these ladies real quick, and we're just going to pray. I want you to bless them, and I want you to pray with faith over them for 2 minutes. Every woman that is standing right now has a powerful destiny. Every woman that is standing is strong, is courageous, is mighty. And so I want you to agree, and I want you to pray from heaven's perspective, not earth's perspective, not your perspective. Pray from heaven's perspective over their life and over their situation. Just for 1 minute, just pray over them. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we just come into agreement with these amazing women right now. We just say, whatever that situation is, we speak life into it. That thing that they are having trouble believing for, that thing that feels dead, that thing that feels like it's never going to come to pass, we just say, live in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall upon them right now. Fall upon their dreams. Fall upon their passions. Fall upon their desires, God. Fall upon their hearts right now. Renew them, God. Renew their strength like eagles. Renew them, God, that they would rise up on the wings of eagles, Lord, that these women right now would feel like eagles in this place. They would come in feeling one way, but they would leave with a new step. They would leave flying like an eagle, Lord Jesus. Give them wind today. Give them wind in their sails, God. Give them wind in their sails, Jesus. We just pray for life over every woman that has stood. We pray for life over every person in this room. God, we agree with the Word of God. You came to give us life and life more abundantly. Father, we thank you for that. We stand upon the Word of God. Yeah. Just about 15 more seconds. Just pray over them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We worship you, Jesus. We bless your name, God. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And we just come against all backlash in Jesus' name. For any person that would leave this room and feel backlash or feel the enemy try to steal that hope and steal the word and steal the promise, we command that to be canceled in Jesus' name. And we ask for greater hope and greater passion and greater love in their life and greater faith, great faith in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. We bless the mamas. We bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to play this video. And I was supposed to play this in the beginning. And then Ann had a quick thing to share. But if you need to go, if you got to get your kids, I totally understand. I'm kind of going a little bit long. This is a short video. And I just wanted to play it. And, come on, we love you, mamas. We love all the mothers in the house. God bless you, and we love all the ladies. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. Have a beautiful Sunday. But okay, next week. God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday. Enjoy your families, and